Yeah, it's Father's Day, and those of us who fathers are still alive, we grateful, and of course, even for those of us who our fathers aren't alive, we're grateful, appreciative of the fact that they raised us as best they could. And of course, we recognize there's still room for improvement. Yeah. Just want to bring our focus, of course, on God our Father. A very familiar prayer that maybe you have read and thought about, and maybe you've heard a message or two. But as we read the verses, I want to go from this passage over to John 17 for a moment. And what I'd like you to reflect upon is the fact that the Lord Jesus was in constant communion with his Father, and what he wants us to do is to be in constant communion with our Father in heaven as well. Let's just read these few verses, and then we'll turn over to John 17. Disciples, of course, were asking the question, how do we pray? And this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Again, the thought here by the Lord Jesus as he was teaching his disciples to pray is to realize that all that we're seeking to do and all that we have is from our Father in heaven. And so even as we break bread here today, all that we're doing here is an expression of the communion that God wants us to have with him. Turn over to John 17 for a moment. In the Pauline epistles, the Apostle Paul often begins many of his letters with reference to the Father. And without exception, we see that there's always a reference to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the Father is actively involved even today as we're considering the work of Christ. It was something that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had agreed upon. And so in this high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, a passage that's often used to emphasize, of course, the unity of the body of Christ, which we agree with, but it's also an emphasis on the unity of the Father and the Son, and yes, of the Holy Spirit, because in the previous three chapters, the emphasis was on the work of the Spirit. Verse 2, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, for you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you. And so this intimacy in knowing the Father is really what our purpose is here this morning. And so thank you, Eric, as you reminded us, on the one hand, to be grateful for our earthly fathers. But your earthly Father, because he was such a good dad and is such a good dad, is because he focused on his heavenly Father. And like you said, a good example, and hopefully we can all appreciate that more fully. Come down to verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them, may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. And so what we're expressing here today, and as we recognize the work of Christ as being in the Father, and as that work is being evidenced by faith in our lives, we too are in the Father, and we too are to exhibit the works of the Son, and we're to exhibit the works of the Father by giving thanks on a daily basis. I'd like you to turn now to Matthew chapter 11. Verse 27. Well, we'll start at verse 25. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And so as you responded to the gospel, God wants you to realize that that revelation, as it were, through his word and by his spirit, and as you responded to it by faith, you have become privy, as it were, to an intimacy with God. You've become privileged, as it were, to get to know God and to experience that by faith. Of course, today we know that it is as a result of our knowledge of sins forgiven that we seek to get to know God a little better. But look at verse 28 and 29. And 30. Now, maybe this week you've faced a number of challenges. I actually was hoping to get a little bit of a report of what happened at camp. Anything that you want to share with us? You got up early, got there, worked hard, got home late, slept in this morning. Pretty much. Okay. Did you have a good time? Is that right, Frank? Did you have a good time with Nick? Okay. Confession's good. Okay. So that's right. We're here to do some work, but there was a purpose involved. And the ultimate purpose of that is so that other people might hear the good news, that children, young people, moms and dads, who otherwise might not hear it. And so people got together and sacrificed some time, sacrificed a day to go and serve because they love the Father and wants to introduce others to the Father. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened. Now, weariness isn't simply a result of fatigue as a result of working hard, but weariness comes with having to deal with the challenges of life. Every day you hear things that are unsettling. You have grave concerns about maybe some of the things that we enjoy and maybe some freedoms that we have today that maybe we won't have tomorrow. And so we become weary. There's a whole host of reasons as to why we might become weary. We have people in our lives who don't yet know the Lord, and so we become burdened. Burdens also come with sacrifice and wanting to love people and care for people. And so Ed was holding a little girl and called her Rachel, but her name is Rayon. Yeah. I think you have a German name for her too, is that right? No? Okay. And they've taken on the responsibility of fostering, caring for children. We have, of course, these little pumpkins up front here, all part of that process too. It's great to see people who are committed to sharing their lives, sacrificing. And so Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And so the burdens come in different shapes and sizes, and all of us here have burdens. Who of you doesn't have a burden? Don't even dare put up your hand because we're going to come and dump a whole bunch on you. Yeah, we all have burdens. Lord Jesus knows that about us. And he says, and I will give you rest. This isn't sleeping rest, although some of you look like you could use a little more. It's not that kind of rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to think about that. I want to share a couple of verses out of Jeremiah a little later. And then I want to dovetail that with the Psalm 1 passage that we looked at here this morning. I want to encourage the men here to come up and share something from God's Word, something you've been meditating upon and learning, so that all of us can be encouraged. May the Lord bless our time together.
I'll be reading out of Philippians 2, starting in verse 1. Sometimes when we do have these burdens as dads, we try and hide them and pretend they're not there, but, you know, Christ, he showed humility, and I think that's what we need to do sometimes too, is to share our burdens with other people. Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Have the same love, being one, in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we just thank you for preserving your word for us. And Lord, I want to thank you too for the fathers out there. And I want to thank you for my father as well. Lord, I just pray that we could all turn to you, and Lord, as you exampled the perfect father for us, Lord, I just pray that you would help us and you'd guide and lead us in that way. Lord, again, I thank you for today, and I just pray that we could show the same humility as Christ did in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Just thinking, as we think about our Heavenly Father as well, in Christ and how blessed we are. verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy, blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be the praise of his glory. And you who were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have given us sonship and that we are adopted, and you are our great Father, and how much you love us, and you've given everything for us and every spiritual blessing. I thank you, Lord, for that, and I thank you, Lord, that we can rely on you and trust you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I'll start at verse 1. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the love that you have for us that we just don't find any words to explain correctly. And thank you for your word that you've preserved for us. Thank you that you love us so much. Help us to appreciate what it costs you to give us eternal life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
like to read from Hebrews chapter 10. We've been going through the warning passages in Hebrews for the last number of weeks in our Bible class, and it's just been very encouraging to understand them in the right context, and that it's not a threat to losing your salvation. But let's read in chapter 10. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, my God.'" First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you too for the great God that you are, and that you sent your Son. Can't imagine giving up my Son. You sent your Son to pay the penalty of my sin. Help me to appreciate that. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you that you paid for my sins and all of our sins once and for all, and that you didn't have to repeatedly do that. Lord, I pray that you would help us worship you the way you deserve. Thank you for your great love for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ask you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 6 for a moment. Now, Adam, what you did in playing the piano was a great gift for your dad and for your mom, of course. One of the things that the Lord wants us to learn, and I just want you to, I want you fathers to just stand up for a minute. I know I've been getting you to do things here in the last couple of services, but I'll get you to do it again. So just stand up for a second. Okay. Now, I want you to grab one of your children, just one of them, not all of them, just one of them. Okay, and I want you to look around a little bit, and You can see father hugging his daughter over there. Of course, I think it's the daughter hugging the father, but it's all good. Yeah. And what I want you to understand is that the father, the longing of a father is to have complete peace and to know that his children honor his wishes, honor his will. Now, of course, we as fathers don't do that perfectly. But the longing that we have for our children is to be at rest. Nothing between us. Complete peace. Okay, you can have a seat. So in Jeremiah chapter 6, context being is that the father has allowed his son, national Israel, to suffer discipline. And we as fathers, we understand that. There's times when we've had to discipline our children, and of course we meant it for their good. We didn't do it perfectly. Verse 16, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look, speaking to the nation of Israel, and in principle it's true for us. Crossroads of life are every single day and every single moment and all the circumstances that you face in life. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Let's go over to 31:25, Jeremiah 31:25. See, the longing of the Father is that his people would have rest. And rest here is not about going to sleep. It's not about activity, but it's not about inactivity either. It's about the unity. It's about the loyalty. It's about the richness in relationship. And the breaking of bread is about that rest. It's resting in the confidence of all that God has done in the person of his son. Chapter 31, verse 25. I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. I'll tell you for a moment, just imagine for a moment, nobody came to church this morning. Nobody came to worship. Nobody was singing. Nobody was reading the scripture. Nobody wanted to be here. Now you might say, I feel like that some days. I'd say, get over it. You can't even imagine what life would be like without the Lord. And you fathers, imagine for a moment that your children have a complete disregard for anything that you say. They have no desire to honor you, no desire to walk with you. See, Jesus came, as Frank was reading, take away sin so we can have rest, so we can have peace. Psalm 1. This is a picture. It's a psalm that I shared Thursday night, shared Friday morning. John shared this morning. It's the theme, John. That's the way it is. It's what we should be talking about. It's what God wants us to talk about. Psalm 1. Now, what was that rendering in the NLT again? Which what? Oh, the joy. Yeah. Oh, the joy of the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers. I want you to recognize that the word way of sinners is not standing in front of sinners and stopping them. It's living in their way, following their lifestyle, following their view of life, their worldview. But rather, the man or the one, and that's man, woman, that's all of us here, anyone here who is happy or oh, the joy where our delight is in the law of the Lord. And so I'm here today because my delight is in the word, the promises of God. And on his law, he meditates upon it day and night. Moses said that to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, Joshua 1:8. Then we have this picture. And the picture I have right now is Johnson Canyon. How many of you have been to Johnson Canyon? You remember that beautiful waterfall? Now you get a little ways into the bush and walking up the trail along Johnson Canyon, it gets a little tighter and tighter and tighter, and I've been to the top. It's beautiful. And all you hear, of course, is the water coming down. It's not the quiet stream that we may have a picture of right here. But it's a picture of rest. Because all you're thinking about is you look at the, you remember in part of the rock cut, as the water's going over, there is some different colors in the rock. Can you remember that? Oh, you weren't looking carefully enough. Johnson Canyon, Banff National Park. How many of you know where Banff is? Good. Well, just as you're entering the park, you'll see Johnson Canyon. Just at the, as we're moving up, okay, into the mountains there. You stop in there. There's a little park. Oftentimes there's caribou and some elk in the area. So I'm imagining for a moment that I'm there right now. And what I'm thinking about is not the hustle and bustle of life, but I'm thinking of my Father holding my hand. And he's pointing out the wildlife and all of God's creation. And then he's telling me about the love of God and the grace and the knowledge of sins forgiven found in the person of the Lord Jesus. He's like a tree, it says here in verse 3, planted by streams of water. And like that tree, he bears fruit in season. You don't wither, and everything that you do prospers. Such are many of you. Such are many of you because your fathers spent the time to teach you. Some of you didn't have your fathers teach you that, and so you went to the Word and you allowed the Father to speak through the Son and by His Spirit to help you see the richness of this verse. Come down to verse 6. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. I want to assure you, the Lord is watching over you. And you can rest in that. There's such peace and joy. Now, if you're a young person, you're saying, I want to be on my whatever device, or I want to watch this, or I want to do that, and it's filled with activity. But you soon discover it says you're sitting in the same room, not saying very much, to your Father who loves you, accepts you, has taught you how to live. that there is rest. And as you do it with the Word of God, Father, Jesus said, right? Father, there is rest. May the Lord give you wisdom as you think about these thoughts. I ask those of you who are going to serve here this morning to come forward, and the rest of you can maybe turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I got several texts from my kids this morning about Happy Father's Day. I got a video from my grandkids out of Sault Ste. Marie, and we're going to give them lots of tickles when I see them here, hopefully in the next month or so. But it just reminded me how restful it is to know that we're loved by God, that we have family who love the Lord. And by the way, if you're a first-generation Christian, this is where it starts. It starts with you and your family, so that when you raise your children in a godly way, your children will have children who hopefully they will raise in a godly way, and hence you've got two generations, and now you're working on the third. And those of you who are raised in Christian homes, how rich is your heritage? You're blessed. Don't take it for granted, because it can be lost in one generation. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Ask one of you men to give thanks for the loaf.
Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for your great love for us, and how you allowed your body to be broken for us so that we could be freed from the power and the penalty of sin. Just pray that you'd help us to be mindful of that and to also be gracious with others the same way you are with us. And just thank you for your body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
We come to you again, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this time of communing with you and with other brothers and sisters. And we do thank you for Jesus' willingness to come to this earth, to live among us, to die for us, willingly shedding his blood so that we could be set free. We ask you, Lord, to bless the cup that we do in remembrance of this great gift that you've given to us. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? This is in 1 Corinthians 10:16. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's stand together. Again, it's good to be able to break bread. Lord Jesus is returning. I'm not exactly sure what daily celebration is going to look like. We're looking forward in anticipation.